Hello, Brian. How are you?
Good, Bob. How you doing? Hi, Damien.
Hi, Brian. Don't please come and take my place. Please.
Don't talk to him.
Hey, based on what I heard about something Bob said last week, I might need to. I guess I'm looking for a job.
Oh.
What did I say?
Is he firing you?
I don't know. I think it was...
No, wait a second.
He's fired and I'm an idiot, but that's okay.
Colangelo, wait a second. Did you hear me say that or is this secondhand information?
No, someone told me that.
See, that's your problem. You can't be listening to other people. They make stuff up. I never said that.
I love it. That means you can't believe everything you read on the internet. How's that?
All right, well, let me
what, you thought you could?
Let me slow this down. Bob, do you think Brian should be fired? Or do you think he's an idiot?
Neither.
Okay.
But I don't make that decision.
Now, the second question is, did you say it anyways?
No, I didn't say that. No, I never said that. No, I never said that at all.
You're always trying to fire somebody.
No, I'd be happy to acknowledge that I said it if I did. But I honestly, I didn't say anything.
Are you disappointed Colangelo could...
Let's get on with business.
I was going to say.
How you guys doing?
Well, you brought it up, Colangelo. We're just trying
and
to...
Now I'm turning the page. Let's go.
Have you talked to your pop, by the way? We had tried to have him on the other day, and he wasn't feeling too good. Is he okay?
Yeah, I actually, I've seen him briefly. I'm in Las Vegas, obviously, for our summer league practices, and I've been to... two practices for the select team, and also that they kind of blend into the full men's team practice. And
right.
There's a nice scrimmage setting, but I've said about three words to him. Last night I had dinner with he and Coach K, but they were on the other side of the table. It was a big table.
Oh yeah.
Don't see him that often, but he's feeling better. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks. Good. Well, just say hello for us, and we're because he's always been good to us, and we were worried that he wasn't feeling too good.
Thank you.
Let's start with the Nash stuff, because obviously you haven't been able to talk because of some ridiculous rule.
Moratorium.
All right, let me tell you what I did say, and this is actual fact. When I heard the rumored number of 3 years, $36 million, my response was, I thought they might go more. I thought, like a poker game, you might go all in. And if somebody had asked me what number beforehand, I would have said, well, how about 3 years, 15 a year, something in that neighborhood where you blow the competition away. Tell me about the process and also about your meeting with Steve and whether you felt after that meeting that you actually had a shot.
Well, I can just simply say to you that the number that we put on the table was far and away the best offer. It I think also was a fantastic meeting that went very well. It was not orchestrated per se from a standpoint of the actual format of the meeting, but it was orchestrated extremely well from a standpoint of what we put in front of them. The program that not only kind of was on the video aspect of it, but it corresponded to what was in front of him in terms of a storyline that was written out, and we had a very nice presentation, let's put it that way. There was a lot of work and a lot of effort from the very talented people at MLSE that went into it, and it was a great presentation. I've been to a lot of business presentations, different meetings. It was perfect in terms of what we did and how we orchestrated it eventually. But at the end of the day, you could tell that there was something kind of on, Adam. And, one, New York jumped in the fray real quick.
Yep.
Miami called quickly. L.A. called quickly. But L.A. and Miami were afterthoughts to some degree. So it really, I thought, and it was aptly put from Bill Duffy, his agent, that we were two teams. It was really down to two options. And after he heard from both of those options, he was still not ready to make a decision, and that's what really got me nervous and concerned. And, it obviously came true that he was looking for a situation closer to home, and he pinpointed the Lakers. They talked about the opportunity that was there. The Lamar Odom trade exception came into play, and now it was up to Phoenix ownership to make the tough decision to trade Steve Nash to a fierce rival, and they did so. Credit to them for helping out a guy. It took a lot of courage on their part. They were going to upset a few people along the way.
Yeah.
But Steve gets what he wants. He gets a destination where he can not only compete for a championship, but he can be close to his kids, and he got it.
Do you, it comes to mind, the old golf expression, never up, never in. You went for it. If you don't try, you don't get a good player. And there obviously there was ambition to try to get well, a Hall of Fame type player and bring him to Toronto to try to turn this thing around in the direction you want. But my question is, there's always a risk of these, and do you feel at the end of it that while that people don't see the effort as much as they see the fact that he wouldn't come, and therefore there is damage done more than the credit you get for trying to get somebody?
Well, imagine what damage would be done if we didn't, you know, give it a run at all, or if after putting the offer on the table we said, look, we got to move on to other things, and walked away, and then the story came out later that, well, I was hopeful to let the process play out, and they took the table and take the offer off the table.
Right.
But let's put it this way, and Bob, I'll use a golf analogy. You're pretty good at this. I never hit a four iron off the tee. I've rarely hit three woods off the tee. I'm a guy that always hits driver. You've got to, you know, go for it, and we put our best foot forward. We did a lot of things to make it a compelling story. But in the end, I cannot fault a man for making a decision where he put his family first.
Right. Sure.
We move on, and if people want to criticize, let them criticize. In the long run, it could possibly be a better basketball decision, but it was going to be worth every bit of splash and, you know, prestige along the way. Everything that would come of him saying yes to Toronto would have been fantastic, and it would have elevated us in so many ways and elevated us basketball-wise. But now we're back to where we were on a path to, you know, contending. We're taking the right strategic steps. We just made a couple of moves that are going to help us get there. And it may not be the splash and the Steve Nash, you know, component, but you know, we got a very good point guard coming in. We've gotten deeper at the small forward spot. We've brought in tremendous athleticism, I think, grittiness, all the things that are coming in, including the inclusion of two lottery-level talents in Terrence Ross and Jonas Valanciunas. We're going to be just fine, and winning is going to solve this, you know, immediacy, if you will, of the criticism. I can't worry about that. I have to still run a business the way I know how to run a business, and that is to, you know, try everything you can to make yourself better and try everything you can to make the right decisions. And bringing Nash here would have been a right decision. It's just we had to go with another right decision.
With Brian Colangelo, the president and general manager of the Raptors, one final question on, for me at least, on the Nash thing. Between the time you went to New York and made your presentation and the time that Steve agreed to the Lakers deal, there were, I'm guessing, 3-4 days, something like that, maybe a bit more. I don't even remember the exact time frame. Did you ever have the opportunity, were you ever tipped that something might happen, and did you go back and make a counteroffer, a better offer to him?
Yes and yes.
Oh, really?
I was in New York. I stayed in New York because I wanted to be in a situation where, if necessary, I could meet with Steve again to answer any questions. If there was a reason to meet with his agent, which I think I had a subsequent 3 meetings with his agent, during that time period, but never met with Steve again. I literally was there until I finally, you know, realized this thing was going a different direction and that a decision was not being made. And the thing that tipped me off more than anything was the agent said, look, I'm going home for the 4th of July. My family's expecting me at a couple of events or functions tomorrow. And I said, well, if he's leaving, I'm leaving, and if this thing gets resolved later, we can, you know, celebrate in person at another time. Or I can find out the way, you know, I anticipated finding out, and that was over the phone. So I ultimately left, I believe, on July 3rd, if I'm not mistaken, having another conversation with Bill later that evening upon my arrival and his arrival back to the Bay Area. We talked about a few scenarios. I said, look, if it's the commitment on 3 years, you know, we can shorten it to 2 and I can, you know, up the money. I didn't feel comfortable saying, let's do 1 year and blow them out of the park. That didn't make any sense. That would have been a rental. But on a 2-year basis, it would have made some sense. But again, I felt like one of the things that he was, you know, afraid to sign off on was a 3-year commitment to something that was going to keep him locked that far away from his family. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, yes, we did exchange some numbers. A, the 36 was never offered. That was a wrong number. I'm not going to get into the exact details other than to correct that. And I'll leave the subsequent offer off the air for now.
But you did say earlier, just to clarify, that what you had on the table to Steve was more than what he signed with the Lakers. Is that accurate?
For sure.
Okay.
It was actually comparable to what the Knicks could have mustered up in a sign and trade. The move for Fields was both to address a need,
sure.
but was also a little bit of a preemptive strike to take a tool away. We accomplished what we wanted to, and we end up hopefully with a good player. Right now, it's 50-50 odds that they match. At least that was from the words of Glenn Grunwald when I talked to him a couple days ago. In the end, he went to a different place, and we both had to move in different directions.
You said a moment ago, Brian, that in the end it might be a better basketball decision. Is that because, are you referencing the fact that you believe in time that Kyle Lowry will mature into a player who will be not only a better fit for you long time, but, be a better point guard for the Toronto Raptors?
Well, he's never going to be Steve Nash. Let's put it that way. Steve is an incredible story and has just had an incredible run. But what we have in Kyle Lowry is something that we've been talking about for the last several months, and that's addressing the need to find a point guard of the future. And he's been producing at a very high level. Analytics would tell you that his value on the court far exceeds his value in the form of his contract. And we are hopeful that we can nurture him and turn him into that, again, that piece that makes sense for us moving forward long term and get him under contract for many years to come.
Well, how do you mitigate the impact of the fact that this guy, by NBA standards, is a pretty small point guard?
He makes up for it, Bob, with his toughness and his grittiness.
Okay.
He's, again, it doesn't matter how big you are, and size doesn't matter always.
Sometimes, but not always.
One of those
I've heard it sometimes.
Where, I'm not a big fan of small point guards, but generally small point guards, there's something that, puts them in a situation where they're outmatched, whether it's on post-ups or what have you. But you're talking about a tough kid here and a guy that knows one thing, and that's competing and fighting, and he's going to will himself to win, and that's what we like about him. He's got that kind of tenacity, that inner city tenacity that guys from Philly have, and he's from Philly, there's a good story here. He doesn't lay down easy to challenges, and we think we've got something good.
You mentioned Valanciunas and Ross. What's a reasonable expectation for Raptor fans of these two young guys? Because it's so easy to get excited about, as you said, lottery-type picks. It's so easy to think these guys are going to come in and turn this thing around. You tell us, what do you expect of these two guys? What kind of contribution can they make next year?
Well, depending on how long or how many minutes Valanciunas can stay on the court, he's really got to learn to play an NBA-style game. You can't grab and hold and fight as much as you do in Europe. Everyone talks about the free-flowing offense of Europe, but it's sometimes like hand-to-hand combat and a little bit dirty and a little bit nasty. One of the things we like so much about Jonas is that he does not back down to anything. He'll take a blow and come right back. He'll be fighting with someone, wrestling with one arm, grab a rebound with another arm, and swing away with the offhand. He's a fighter. He's feisty on the court. He's talented. He's got a high skill level, but he needs to get better. Nobody is expecting him to come in and be a savior. I hope that's very clear. These are rookies we're talking about. One's 20 and one is 21. We're adding two very young talents, good talents, to a core of players that's very young. And we're going to, again, keep developing and keep growing and nurturing these kids. What we've seen from Ross so far, just in three practices, this is the second day of camp. Coach is raving to me about him and loves what he sees, loves his quickness. He's cat quick, I'll use that terminology. Runs the floor well, shoots it well. He's very good defensively. I mean, we like what we see. There's an intensity level there. I think you're going to see a guy like Terrence Ross pushing DeMar DeRozan to be a better player. I think you're going to see Quincy Acey, a kid we drafted from Baylor, pushing Ed Davis to be more intense and play harder. And these are good things. Competitive balance is good in a roster composition, and we're looking for that. But everyone's going to be fighting and clawing for that playing time. And coach is really just, I think, masterfully orchestrating it right now.
Absent the Fields decision, which I suppose is probably fairly imminent, is there, what's the time frame on that? Do you suspect
it was delivered today? The count starts tomorrow. They have 3 days to match or not.
Okay. Yeah. Absent that, are you done then? Is this your roster?
No, not necessarily. You know, there's already been some talk about, you know, what happens with Jose now. Mm-hmm. You know, I can tell you that he's not happy about the acquisition of Lowry, but you know, if you're a starting point guard and you see a bulldog coming in, you know, you're going to either fight or, you know, just accept it. And of course, Jose wants to fight, but he's been through this drill before. And, you know, we've got to be thinking about our team as a whole, not just one individual. We've got to be talking about the future. And Kyle obviously represents the future. We're going to let them compete if that is what's called for. But already, you know, I've had some conversations with various teams reaching out to find out if, A, we would trade Jose, B, if we would consider amnestying him and maybe them picking him up, or C, you know, what do you do in a case of, you know, a scenario where he just, there's a buyout. If he's that unhappy, you know, I haven't heard that yet, but if he's unhappy, you could buy him out. Again, these are queries coming from other teams, so I think that, you know, longer-term conversations with the agent will determine really what direction we go here. But if the right deal comes along, I've said before, nobody's untradeable, and we'll look to get better. The good news is he's got an expiring deal, and it's a pretty big number, so it enables us to bring in a pretty big chip.
Yeah.
If that's the case. So we'll look at everything, but Jose's a valued member of our team. He's done a great job growing into a leadership role, and we hope he comes back and has the right approach and right attitude.
I know you're in Vegas now, and you got some things to take care of, but are you you going to get out on the golf course at all this summer?
No, I'm not here. I may try to do it occasionally on a Sunday morning or a Saturday morning back in Toronto, but yeah. I don't know when I'm back in Toronto, to be honest with you. It's been crazy in terms of the back-and-forth travel, but I'm going to go out to Halifax, I think, at some point this summer to look at a possible training camp site, and I hear there's a pretty good golf course there.
Now, I'm going to ask you one thing, and I'm coming off, right off. I may be 100% wrong on this, but somebody told me just the other day that you have scheduled an inter-squad game or a preseason game at Casino-Rama. Is that true?
That is true. We announced it, I think, last week.
Oh, was it? Okay.
They're a big partner of ours.
Right.
And we are fulfilling an obligation that we're happy to fulfill because they've been a very good partner. And, you know, it's we're going to turn it into a little bit of a team-building event. We're going to make sure that the guys go up and have a nice dinner and spend the night and then practice and come back to town. We've got a couple of days there just before the start of the season that the timing and the scheduling worked out well, and I cleared it with Coach and made the commitment to corporate partnerships in our company.
Did you clear it with David Stern? Doesn't sort of sound like the kind of thing he'd be much in favor of, if you know what I mean.
as long as there's not a sports book, I think it's okay. There's been games like this scheduled before, you know, at the various casino properties in upstate New York and other areas, but I think we're okay.
Listen, thanks a lot for joining us. Best of luck through the rest of the summer. I don't know how often we'll get a chance to talk. Hopefully we get a chance to go out on the golf course, but we appreciate you joining us and filling us in on some of the things that have gone on over the last little while.
Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate it.